scriptures. We're going to read a lot today. Is everybody all right? I hope that's all right with you to read the scripture. As I mentioned before, we went over to Jerusalem when we were there in Israel. We went to Jerusalem in one spot there. We were talking about the synagogue. I think it was in Capernaum when we were there. They were talking about the I done forgot the name of the thing, man. I done got all messed up. But anyhow, they would come. Everybody would come to listen to the word of God being read. I think we got away from that in churches a lot. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you my outline because I'm not going to preach it. Is everybody ready? All right. I know some of y'all, you don't think you've been in church unless you got an outline. And so I'm going to give you an outline and then I'm going to go and we're going to read the scripture. So your outline this morning is her employment, her encounter, her excuses, and her exit. Is everybody all right? Now I'm going to go preach. Okay. Now, John chapter number 4, if you're there, say amen. All right. In the very first verse, the Bible tells us this. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. We won't get into that study. Verse number 3, he left Judea. Now that's very strong wording right there, that word and the verb. I'm just gonna read scripture and we're gonna go through just like a commentary, if that's all right. That's really how I like to teach, okay? So he left Judea. That word left, that verb there means that he abandoned. In other words, he was done. They had rejected him in Judea, and so now he is headed to Galilee, all right? But the wording here is that he left Judea, as in, I'm done. Is everybody all right? Now, we know he wasn't done, but you understand, he had done a work, and at this point, it was becoming obvious that it was going to cause more of an uproar and keep him from his ministry. And so he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Now, very important verse right here. When you left Jerusalem to go up into Galilee, most Jews went across the Jordan River and went up around it instead of going straight to Galilee. To go straight through to Galilee meant that you had to go through this area of the Samaria. All right. And most Jews avoided this area. The reason that they avoided this area is because most of the congregants, or most of those constituents, whatever you want to call them, the people that were there, they were to the Jews an abomination. They were a half-breed, if you will. They were Jews that were left behind during the captivity that married outside of the Jewish religion, married Gentiles, Canaanites, Amorites, whatever. They married into them, and so they were a mixed breed, if you will. They weren't Jew. They weren't always Gentile. And that caused problems, all right? Because they, as far as they was concerned, they wasn't God's chosen people. Is everybody all right? So when the Bible says that he must needs go through Samaria, understand it. What he didn't have to go through Samaria. He didn't have to go through Samaria. He could have been like everybody else and gone around, even though it was a longer trip. He could have gone around it all and avoided going into Samaria. The Bible says in verse number 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And so very important place that he's at. This is an important place because it's all through scripture. This is where Abraham came to when he left And came into the land of Canaan. This is the parcel of land that he came to. This is where God first revealed himself to Abraham. This is where Jacob returned from Laban. And this is where Jacob came back to. Of course, we have Jacob's well here. This is where Joshua charged the children of Israel. There's a lot of history that happened on this parcel of ground. All right. And so history, if you will, was against this woman seeing Christ for who he really was. We'll get to that in a minute. Verse number 7. And we learned in verse number 6, it was a 6 hour, so it was about noontime. All right. Now, verse number 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. All right. Now, we all familiar with this passage of scripture, I think. But here, Jesus shows his humanity in that he is wearied and tired. He comes to this parcel of land where Jacob's well was, and he sits on the well. And about noontime, this woman shows up at the well. All right. Now, I want to take it back to this. He must needs go through Samaria. The whole purpose of Jesus going through Samaria was for this woman. Oh, I need somebody to help me. As we get all mixed up in this thing, and man, I think we don't realize the gravity of this situation. A rabbi wouldn't talk to a woman in public. Jesus, the rabbi, right? According to tradition, he wouldn't even, according to tradition, the rabbi wouldn't speak to a woman, even if it was his wife or his sister in public. That is why the disciples later on in the story were surprised to find Jesus talking to this woman. But they didn't question him, but I promise you this, if there was any Pharisees around, they would have. Because a rabbi was not to talk to a woman in public. Matter of fact, hey, this is crazy. Y'all ready for this? There was in my studies, I read about this. There was actually rabbis that would close their eyes when a woman approached. Because they wouldn't even look upon the woman. And they called them something like bruised rabbis or something like that. I think was the name that they called them, because when they closed their eyes, they'd run into stuff. I read that. I'm like, man, you got to be kidding me. But it makes sense. All right. It makes sense. But here Jesus comes and he finds this woman. He was there before she was. He was there before she was. He said he must needs go through Samaria, and he ended up there before she was. A divine appointment, if there ever was one. He knew that he must needs go through Samaria, and he went through Samaria for one woman. And she was an outstanding citizen, by the way. We're going to see about that in here just a few minutes, all right? And the Bible says that Jesus asked her to give him something to drink. Now, two things going on here. One, he's not even supposed to be talking to women, all right, according to the tradition, all right? So he's breaking that little man's law. But then, as a Jew, they wouldn't ask anything of a Samaritan. And so this is even a double whammy. Not only is she a woman, but this woman is a Samaritan that the Jews would have no dealings with. That's why she answered him according to the way that she did. The Bible says that he asked her for water, and she said, how is it you're going to ask me? How are you going to ask me, which are a Samaritan? And she said, because you had no dealings with me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, verse number 10, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this well or this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Man, she got excited. Jesus said, hey, if you knew the gift of God, which by the way was him, and who it is that's speaking to you, you'd ask of me for this living water, and I'd give you water you'd never thirst again. Now, just like most people, she didn't get the spiritual meaning of this. And so she said, how are you going to draw water out when you ain't got nothing to, I got a water pot and you don't. How are you going to draw water? The well's deep. Matter of fact, I think the well was about 100 foot deep is what I've read about it. How are you going to draw water out? Yeah, you ain't even got a water pot. And he says, you're not understanding what I'm saying. The water that I'll give, did everybody get that to you? You had to ask for it to get that. You had to ask for it. But he said, the water that I'll give you, he says, you'll never thirst and it will spring up from within you. He says here, the woman says, okay, I'm game. Give me this water. Why? Why does she want it? So she didn't have to draw no water out of the well, that I might not thirst again. All right. So verse number, is everybody okay? Y'all still with me? Jesus saith unto her, go and call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. And she say, ouch. Hey, Jesus said, go get your husband. She said, I ain't got no husband. He said, I know you don't. I know you don't. But you've had 5 of them, and the one you're living with right now, he ain't your husband. I'm with her. Ouch. Ouch. Is everybody all right? This tells a lot about marriage right here. Just because we call it marriage doesn't mean God does. Is everybody all right? Bible goes on, it says this, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband, and that saidest thou truly. And the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. He done got all up in her grits. Wait a minute. You must be one of them seers. The Bible says in verse number 20, our fathers, this is what she done now. She recognized that there was something different about him, but she changed direction. She changed the subject. She says to him, she says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Listen to me. He just revealed himself to this woman who, according to the Bible, had had five husbands, wouldn't be welcomed in the Baptist church. Somebody better help me. Is everybody all right? She'd be welcome here. If visitors, don't take that the wrong way. What I mean is that a lot of churches won't have nothing to do with somebody if they've been divorced. And yet the one person, I gotta scratch this itch. The one person that Jesus said, I've got to go see, had been divorced five times. If she had five husbands and the one that she was living with now wasn't her husband, then that means that five of them guys, she done kicked to the curb, or they kicked her to the curb, and they, is everybody all right? Five divorces. And yet, he said, I got to go see her. I've got to go see, is everybody all right? Because then we can have pity on somebody that's had five divorces. As long as they're living a defeated life, then we can have pity on them. But here, she's already shacked up with somebody else. It ain't like her past is her past and she's done moved on from it and turned over a new leaf. She's still in it. And he came to her. He had to go see her. I must needs go through Samaria. Not for some dignitary, not for some rich man, but this poor little woman that's coming to the well at noon, because more than likely, none of the women wanted her there in the morning when they drew water. See, he could have come, the time to draw water was in the morning time when it was cooler. He could have come and seen all the ladies of the town. Y'all, I hope you're getting this. He could have come and seen all the ladies of the town, but he chose one individual. One lady, that's it. One woman in that whole village, one lady. He chose a divine appointment with her on the side of that well. He offered to her, in the middle of everything she had going on in her life, he offered to her living water. That living water that was eternal. I hope you got that too. That living water, which was him. That living water, that salvation that is of the Jews, that salvation that was him, he offered that to one that most wouldn't even have nothing to do with. She probably didn't dress like everybody else. She probably didn't talk like everybody else. She certainly didn't act like everybody else, but yet it was her that he was concerned with. I'll never get over this story. I like to read it on a regular basis because I like to be reminded that God comes to those that nobody else would. Because there was a time in my life when nobody would come to me, but God came to where I was at. He was there before I ever got there. He knew everything about me, and yet he still offered me that living water that everybody else claimed that they had. And probably thought that they had deserved. I'll never get over this story. But Jesus messes her all up. Said, I know all about you. She said, let's change the subject. Y'all help me. Don't we do the same thing? Let's change the subject. Let's not talk about what I've done. Let's not talk about where I am. Let's change the subject. So she said, how about we talk about worship. What's the right way to do it? Now we've heard that we're to worship in this mountain, but now you're telling us we're to worship in Jerusalem. What exactly are we to worship? And he says, woman, it ain't where you're worshiping. is who you're worshiping. He said, you got it all wrong. It ain't where you worship. It's who you worship. God is a spirit, and therefore you got to worship him in spirit and in truth, which means that I can worship him in Jerusalem. I can worship him in Sychar. I can worship him in Lake Park, believe it or not. I can worship him up north in with a bunch of Yankees. I know that's hard to believe, but God doesn't stop at the Mason-Dixon line. I said that right too. I don't believe in the Mason-Dixon line. It's the Macon-Dixon line. Everything north of Macon is Yankees, all right? And the Bible says in verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, I hope I come back to that verse. Verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And verse 31, and in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? It's amazing to me how many times Jesus spoke spiritual things and the people that were standing there didn't even understand it. It encourages me that though I preach and you don't get nothing out of it, it's okay. Oh, it is true. We're so focused on everything else in the world that we miss out on who we're standing there with. Do you realize this morning that there was a divine appointment? See, we read the Bible and it all sounds good and it all sounds good for that woman there at the well, but do you realize that you're sitting here this morning and Jesus was here before you ever got here? He had a divine appointment with just you. He knew you were going to be here. He made sure that you got here without any complications, unless you're married. Somebody say amen. And he got you here so that you could hear a word from him. Man, that means that my name could be put in chapter number 4. My story could be put in chapter number 4 today, and it would still read as it did back then. Because there's some people that's got the idea that the only place I'm to worship is that church. The only place that I'm to worship is over yonder, and the only time I'm going to worship it is it gets on. Jesus said, you're missing out on it. I am he that speaketh unto thee. I am the one. I am the gift. And he's come to this woman. The Bible says we're going on in this thing and the disciples don't even decipher what is going on spiritually here. They said, did somebody bring him something to eat? Did we miss something right here? What do you mean you got food that we know not thereof? You know what Jesus was saying here? He says, the will of God, the will of the Father, the work of the Father is what fuels me. We're going to return to that truth. Is everybody all right? Because I believe that most of us, like the disciples, are too worried about what our flesh needs and what our spirit needs. I will, Jackson. I'm going to get back to it. The Bible says in verse number 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. My Sunday school class, don't that sound familiar? All right, verse number 37. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Must needs go through. Most traveled around, and yet Jesus not only came there, but he stayed 2 days. And the Bible says in verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I'm stopped. I'm done. That's all the reading we're going to do. And from this point, he leaves. But as we look at this morning, I want you to notice this divine appointment. I want you to notice her employment. She came to that well with a water pot. She had something going on in her life. Her priorities at that time were to come and to draw water. We noticed the time of day at noon. It was different than when they normally come. In other words, what I'm trying to get to is this. She didn't come looking for him. She had everything else on her mind. That water pot can represent anything you want it to, but everything about that water pot says nothing about spirituality. She came there for her own flesh. What am I saying? As I'm saying this, there's a lot of folks here that you're here by divine appointment, and the reason you're here, why you've come, is for desires and things far beyond, or not spiritual things, but physical things. But God is already here this morning, and he wants to do a work in your life. He wants to do something. He wants to give you something. He's got a gift to give unto you this morning. And though you think that you're just here for the purpose of fulfilling and checking off this blank, God has a divine purpose for you being here this morning. He doesn't care where you come from. He doesn't care what your past is. Listen to me. We ain't concerned about where you're living at right now. He's wanting to offer you something. But you got to ask for it. He said, if you knew this living water, if you knew who it was, you'd ask me for it. You got to ask me for it. And to do that, he says, go and get your husband. I don't have a husband. Yeah, I know. But you've had five of them. The one you're living with now is not your husband. Why do you reckon he done that to her? You think he was just looking to embarrass her? I agree. He was showing her who he was. But I think he was showing her more so who she was. See, I think, we done tapped into something now. Y'all ready? I think that the better view we have of him, the better view we'll have of us. See, so she figured out who he was, and at the same time, she figured out who she was. This morning, I beg of you, there's a lot of things that go on in a church service. There's a lot of distractions in a church service. There's folks that come, and man, we come because our family invited us. We come because we know we're trying to make our spouse happy. That's how I got to church. We have all these distractions and all these things. We see somebody singing and we get distracted by them. Maybe we get distracted by the words of a song. Maybe we get distracted because some instrument messed up. Maybe we get distracted because some sound messed up. And so we sit through a service that's here for by divine appointment. And just like the woman at the well, we miss seeing who he really is. Because if we really saw who he really is, then we'd recognize who we really are. Right. And if we recognize who we really were, then we would ask. Yeah, God, give me that water. This woman, she had a realization that she was a sinner, and it drove her to him. Is everybody with me? I'm getting somewhere. Then, once that took place, remember he said the gift, let me read the verse. It's verse number 10. Jesus answered and said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto give me to drink, thou wouldest asked of him and he would have given thee. Verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So he said the gift, he said in verse number 10, he said the gift, if you knew the gift of God, which was him, he said you would ask of it, give me to drink, and thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee that living water. He's a gift. He's saying, I give it to you. Then he tells us about that living water, that once it's in us, it springs up. Is everybody with me? It springs up in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I did some study on this, and it says, it literally said that what he was talking about, the gift, of course, of being himself, was the gospel. And when the gospel is in us, it springs up into everlasting a living. Is everybody with me? Now, watch what the woman did. When she recognized who he was, and she recognized who he was, the Bible says she left. The Bible says she left her water pot. Been a lot of preaching on that water pot as to why she left the water pot. But I'd like to say this. She was coming back for it because she ran into the city and she told all the men, come, not go. Is everybody with me? So this living water that's now in her is springing up into eternal life in others. And Jesus takes the story and he says to his disciples, the time of harvest is now. And he says this, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. You know who else labored? The woman. I hope you understand what I'm saying. He must needs go through Samaria. He met this woman. She got saved. The verse springing up in her caused her to run. I'm going to get you saved before it's over with, boy. I promise you. And bring others with her. Right? Bring others with her. And when Jesus looked across and the disciples looked across and he seen all them coming, he said to the disciples, this is where we miss all this, but he says to the disciples, look at the field. It's ready to harvest. He said, it's time to reap. And you're going to reap what somebody else has sowed. And the sowing was done by the woman. Do you understand that? It was the woman that planted the whole seed. Yeah, you can go sit down, man. That's a cool dude right there now. It was the woman that planted the whole seed. The one that had been married. The one that was living. You notice what ain't in the story? Let me read a verse that ain't in your Bible. Are y'all ready? And Jesus said unto her, go get all your affairs in order, hussy. I'm sorry, let me use biblical terms. Go get all your affairs in order, harlot. Is everybody all right? Does anybody notice that Jesus responded to her and treated her a lot differently than what we do people? And the whole lesson, I'm done. The whole lesson for the disciples was given by a woman that had been divorced 5 times. Hey, these disciples, Jesse, they thought they had it all figured out. We were the ones that were chosen. We were the ones that were walking with Jesus. And Jesus showed them that a woman, a Samaritan, been married 5 times, divorced 5 times, and living with somebody she ain't married to. God used her to teach the disciples a lesson, to teach me and you a lesson. And according to your Bible, many believe according to the word of the woman. This morning, if you're saved, that living water should be springing up in you. So the question is, where's your water pot? See, when that water goes to flowing, you don't need that water pot. But they, some of us, so attached to the water pot that we're missing out on our God-given purpose. And if Jesus was here this morning, he'd take you around the shoulder. Come here, Jesse. I didn't want to have to reach up. Feel. Is already white for harvest. And meanwhile, we running around with a water pot thinking we're doing something for Jesus. Everybody all right? So if that water is living water and it's springing up inside of us, somebody else ought to be getting some of that water too, right? Thank you, Jesse. Now, that's for us. Now, we need to get on the altar, don't you think? Dalton, come to that piano for a minute. I'm done. If you got that living water, then why do I have, why are we constantly having to get you to go and tell others? If a woman in her condition and her position got that living water and her first thought was, there's more important things than what I've come here for, then how is it that you and I are still wondering, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? There's a coworker that needs you to bring them to Jesus because you know where he's at. And he's told you all you ever did, and yet he loved you. Heads bowed with me, if you will. There's somebody in here this morning. Listen to me. I hope you got a good glimpse of the Lord this morning. Because there's somebody here that God has set up a divine appointment with. You were just coming on your way, just like the woman with her water pot. Wasn't really expecting anything, but yet Jesus was waiting on you. This morning, you're going to have to make a decision. I can't make it for you. But that divine appointment, I hope this morning you realize that no matter how bad and how bad you perceive yourself to be, God loves you. He knows all about you, and yet he loves you. And He's wanting to give you that living water. Springing up. If you're in here this morning, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's looking around, but if you'd be honest with this preacher this morning and say, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved." You say, "Preacher, I'm not sure." Listen now, listen to what I'm saying. "Preacher, I am not sure that I would go to heaven if I was to die." I didn't ask you what you thought. I said, "Preacher, I'm not sure." If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to just lift your hand. You ain't got to raise it way up. Just lift it up high enough that I can see it. I see it. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? Be honest with me. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just lift it right up. "Preacher, I'm not sure." Is there anybody else? "I'm not sure." Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for this morning. Lord, I know the preaching has not been where I wanted it to be, but God, I know that you can do more than I can. So God, I ask you, Lord, to help us this morning. Lord, there's been somebody, Lord, that has testified by their own testimony. But Lord, they're unsure of their salvation. They're unsure where they'd spend eternity. Lord, I remember, I can identify being in that place. I remember what it was like. I remember hearing the things of the Bible and reading along and questioning and wondering, "Lord, if I'm not sure, if I was to die, Lord, I don't know." I remember those. Lord, I remember the place that you brought me, Lord. I remember September 28, 1997. God, where I sat in a church service just like this. And Lord, I remember hearing the preacher preach, the question asked, and Lord, I remember having to evaluate my own life. Lord, I remember coming forward. I remember asking you for that living water. Lord, I can remember, Lord, the love and the peace that came over me. I remember leaving as if a burden was lifted. And as my faith has strengthened, Lord, and grown, I look back and I know, Lord, that the work that you did that day is eternal. Lord, I pray this morning that you would do the same. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you'd give courage. Lord, I pray, Lord, that another soul be saved in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed with me. If you raise your hand, listen to me. I've been where you at. I got saved years ago and I praise the Lord for it, but I still remember where I was at. This morning, I want you to know that you can leave out of this place knowing where you'd spend eternity if you was to die. Not because of the Baptist religion, not because of any other denomination, but because of the Word of God. We can show you in the Word of God. Still a decision that you'll make and still something that you'll do, but if you'll let me, we'd like to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. So you can lay your head down on a pillow tonight knowing where you'd spend eternity. If you'll do that this morning, nobody's looking around. I don't need any help right now. But if you'll do that this morning, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get up out of your seat and come right here. I'll meet you halfway, and let's get that thing settled. Brother Scott, come help me. Maybe that's somebody else. It's amazing. I remember growing up, I couldn't tell you how many church services I sat in knowing I was lost, worried about what somebody else might think about me. It all boils down to it at the end of the day. Understand this, you will stand before God alone. I can't give an account for you. Ain't nobody else going to be able to give an account for you. You're going to stand before God and answer for yourself. I wouldn't be worried about who was sitting next to me because they're not going to be there. You're going to stand before your Creator, either having received Him or having rejected Him. If you've received Him, He'll receive you into eternal life. If you have rejected Him, then He will reject you. Simple math. Don't paint Him out to be the bad guy if you continually reject Him. Last chance, last opportunity in our services. If you'd like to get this thing settled this morning, won't you come? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you once again, Lord, for this morning. Lord, thank you for Sunday school hour. I thank you for this time of worship. God, thank you for the singing, the choir. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, we get a hold of this, understand this truth, that if we claim to be saved like we all do, then there ought to be something springing up inside of us that would drive us away from our earthly desires and bring others to you. God, help us. Too distracted by the water pot to realize whose presence we're in. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to get our priorities in order, to leave the water pot, Lord, and do the work of